Striking together every quarter of an hour, the clocks of Harley Street divided and controlled the June day. So time marched on, until a clock in Oxford Street announced that it was 1:30. Hugh Whitbread was at Lady Bruton's front door with a bunch of red flowers in his hand, for he never failed to remember the manners of the perfect English gentleman. Lady Bruton preferred Richard Dalloway, of course, who arrived a moment later, but she would let no one criticise her poor dear Hugh. She could never forget his kindness. He had been extraordinarily kind, though exactly when that had been she could no longer remember. There was something she needed their help with, but they would eat first, of course. She laid Hugh's flowers down beside her plate, and the food was carried silently in by white-capped servants. She must wait until the coffee was served before asking for their help, Lady Bruton reminded herself.
"Do you know who's in town?" said Lady Bruton suddenly, as Hugh helped himself to a large amount of chicken. "Our old friend, Peter Walsh." They all smiled. Peter Walsh. Richard Dalloway liked the poor man and would be very pleased to see him. And all three remembered the same thing, how Peter had been so much in love with Clarissa. But then he had been rejected, had gone to work in India, and made a terrible mess of things. Peter Walsh had been in love with Clarissa, Richard thought. Straight after lunch, he would go home and tell her, in his way, that he loved her.
"Yes, Peter Walsh has come back," said Lady Bruton.
He had returned, beaten, unsuccessful, to their safe shores. But it was impossible to help him. There was some fault in his character. Hugh Whitbread could certainly mention Peter's name to the heads of government offices. He could write letters, but it would not lead to anything permanent because of Peter's character.
"He's in trouble with some woman," said Lady Bruton,
and of course they had all guessed that.
"However, we shall hear the whole story from Peter himself," she said,
wanting to leave the subject now, for she had very little interest in Peter Walsh. Nothing mattered more at this moment than the project she had begun, and the letter she wished to have published about it in the Times newspaper. No one wrote letters to the Times as admirably as Hugh Whitbread, so if he wrote for her and Richard advised her, she was sure to get it right. But Hugh was very slow to finish eating, and the coffee would not be brought until he had finished. She was getting impatient. At last Hugh was finished, the coffee was served, and Lady Bruton's papers were fetched. Hugh slowly and carefully made corrections with his fine silver pen, and when he finally read out the letter, Lady Bruton felt certain that it was a great success. Lunch and letter writing over, Lady Bruton led them to the hall, where they took their gloves from the table and offered their thanks.
"We shall see you at our party tonight," Richard said.
The letter writing was done. She needed their help no more. Lady Bruton stood stiff and splendid again. She might come, or she might not, she said, standing at her door, very handsome, very upright. Her guests left, and Millicent Bruton went up to her room to lie on her sofa, to rest, not to sleep. She was not asleep, just sleepy and heavy, as if lying in a flower-filled field in the sunshine on this hot June day, with the bees going round and round. She always went back to those fields in Devon, riding Patty, her horse, with her brothers. And there were her father and mother in the garden under the trees, drinking tea
as she crawled back through the bushes after their games so as not to be seen.